Great. Well, good morning. And for those who don't know me, my name's Sam, and I'm the Assistant Minister here at St. Pat's. And I'll be finishing off this mini-series we've done in Romans chapter 12. Today we're thinking about verses 11 and 12. Well, I bet you didn't know that I was once voted most likely to become the next James Bond. It was admittedly while at Bible or theological college, and so you can draw your own conclusions as to what the competition for that award was like. But I am now waiting for my phone call to tell me that I'm going to be Daniel Craig's next replacement. Well, I want you to think about James Bond for a moment, 007. And perhaps in one word or two words, can you describe in your head James Bond's version of service? How would you describe the way in which James Bond serves his country? The James Bond version of service, I guess, is exceedingly high risk. It's kind of cheap frills, hugely rewarding, full of adventure. No two dames are the same. It's heroic, but also it's pretty lonely, fairly isolated. It's quite shallow. He has this delusional sense of nationalism, and based on the most recent film, it is heroic, but it ends badly. Well, when we think about serving, James Bond conjures up a very specific kind of service. But what's amazing about Romans chapter 12 is that Paul, for the Christian, expands massively what it means to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord, as outlined in Romans chapter 12, isn't something that we have to apply for. It's not something for some of us to do and not others. No, it's something that every follower of Jesus is called to do. So let's recap quickly. In verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, we are told to be living sacrifices, not conforming to the pattern of this world, but living lives that have been transformed by Jesus. In verses 3 to 8, Paul makes it clear to us that God has distributed all sorts of gifts to his people, and that we are to be, as David said, humble, confident Christians using those gifts God has given. Then last week, we were looking at Romans 12, verses 9 to 10, where we saw that we are to have a radical love for one another. Jesus has redefined what it means to be family. We are brothers and sisters, and we are to love one another with a great love. And today, as we now look at verses 11 and 12, we see Paul build on what he's already said about being a living sacrifice, about having great gifts, and about having this radical love. And he says, we are to serve the Lord with all of these things that we have. Verses 11 and 12 are all about serving the Lord. But the kind of service we see in our passage isn't the James Bond ego-inflating service. No, it's devoted service to God, wholeheartedly living for him. So that's the title of my sermon this morning, Devoted Service. Verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So devoted service then has two main components. Zeal, which refers to having great enthusiasm and commitment for a cause, and spiritual fervor, which refers to your passion for Jesus, the intensity to which you love him, your faith for Jesus. And Paul tells us that we must have both of these in our service of the Lord. So let's explore them now. Let's start with our first component, zeal. What does it mean to be never lacking in zeal? Well, in Romans 12, to be zealous is to have great enthusiasm and commitment for serving the Lord. But the truth is, you can be zealous about anything. You can have zeal for anything. Zeal can be both good and bad, depending on the way it is channeled. Take Jesus' disciple Simon, for example. He is called by the gospel writers Simon the Zealot, meaning that Simon had a reputation for being extreme in his passion and enthusiasm and commitment. But Simon's zeal was for Jewish political change before he came to know Jesus. He was a radical of a different sort, someone who would stop at nothing to restore the Jews to power in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus looked at Simon the Zealot, and he saw a quality in Simon that he could use. But the direction of Simon's zeal needed redirecting by Jesus. Nevertheless, though, Jesus saw something in Simon that he could use to build his kingdom. Simon was an extremist, but the wrong sort. Jesus needed to redirect his zeal. While I was doing my degree at Theological College, I somehow ended up as student president, much to the amusement of my old school friends. And while I was student president, one of my roles was to sign off on policies that the college made on behalf of the students. I would read them and sign off on them. And usually this didn't take me very long. I'd read the title, skim read the policy, sign off, all happy. Okay, great. But one day, the principal, the acting principal at the time, called me into his office and he said, "Sam, I've got a policy for you to look at. I know you don't tend to read these in great detail, but this one I need you to look at properly." And it was about the time that the government had introduced new rules and new legislation requiring educational facilities to have a policy explaining what they were doing to prevent students becoming extremists, becoming radicalized, and particularly for religious educational facilities. This was kind of quite poignant. And so the college had made this policy explaining what they were doing to stop us becoming radicalized. And he handed me this policy, and I'll never forget what he said. He said to me, "Sam, the great irony is that we are in fact trying to make you an extremist. But the sort of extremist we're trying to turn you into is a radical disciple of Jesus Christ." You see, you can be extreme, you can be zealous about anything. Simon was a zealot. And Jesus turned his focus away from radical insurgency to radical loving disciple. So ask yourself the question this morning: what are you zealous about? What is it that you put your enthusiasm into? What is it that you put your commitment into? And then ask yourself, how might that zeal need rechanneling into your service of the Lord? Two further comments on zeal. How do you know whether you're zealous enough in your service of the Lord? Can you measure zeal? Well, think about it for a moment. Zeal is one's enthusiasm, one's commitment for a cause. How do you measure that? Consider two marathon runners. Person A finishes the marathon in 3.5 hours, and person B finishes the marathon in 7.5 hours. Who has more zeal? Well, I guess the answer is the same. They have the same amount of zeal if they gave it their all, if they devoted themselves to their training, if they pursued their goals wholeheartedly. Then they both had great zeal. And the same is true for our service of the Lord. Zeal isn't about winning or being the best. Zeal is about giving our best back to God in service. I could be really slow at putting the chairs out for our services, but if I did it with zeal, with enthusiasm, and with commitment, then that would please the Lord far more than if I did it quickly, but with resentment. The point is that our zeal can't be measured by our output. It's to do with our motivation. It's to do with the state of our heart. Second comment on zeal. What is the opposite to zeal? Never be lacking in zeal. Well, what's the opposite to zeal? Well, based on the marathon runners, the opposite to zeal isn't being slow. No, I think the opposite to zeal is indifference. Indifference. Not really being bothered, shrugging your shoulders, turning up late to meetings, never really replying to messages, being half-hearted in your service. is sitting around not doing anything. Indifference is a sin that can plague our service of the Lord. It can do great damage to individuals, and it can do great damage to churches. And do you know what? Indifference is really hard for a leader to challenge, and it's really hard for a leader to deal with. Paul tells us, never be lacking in zeal. But when we're thinking about indifference, I much prefer the ESV's translation of this verse, which says, do not be slothful in zeal. And you might know this already, but for those who aren't experts in sloths, they are extremely slow creatures. They move on average 40 yards per day. And the translation, do not be slothful in zeal, helps me think, reminds me of Sid the Sloth from Ice Age, the film's Ice Age, who in the opening scene of the first film is left behind and misses the migration because he's overslept. He's living up to his animal character, being slothful, being lazy, indifferent, not really bothered. And so Paul instructs you and I, saying, don't be lacking in zeal. Instead, have great enthusiasm. Have enthusiasm. Don't be a fun sponge. Don't suck all of the fun away from a task. Instead, do whatever God has called you to do with enthusiasm. And have great commitment. Don't be flaky. Don't turn up to things late. Instead, follow through on your commitments. Keep your word. Be full of zeal. The second component for our devoted service is spiritual fervor. What does it mean to keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord? Well, this could be understood as keeping your spiritual passion, keeping your spiritual intensity while serving the Lord. How sad it is when people lose their passion for God and their serving becomes something they despise. Well, how is your spiritual fervor today? Consider for a moment water in a kettle. When water is boiling in a kettle, it bubbles up, it bounces around, it's ready, it's active, it's going to be useful for making a hot drink or cooking. Well, when water is cold in a kettle, it's flat, it's still, it has no real purpose in the kettle. Similarly, our spirituality and how passionate we are matters. It matters because it affects our service of the Lord. So ask yourself the question, or answer this question, what temperature are you? What temperature is your spiritual fervor? Are you cold? Spiritually, you've switched off from serving the Lord. Are you warm? You're interested in God and the idea of serving, but you're certainly not excited by it. Or are you hot? You're looking and listening to see where the Lord is at work and how you can serve him. Or are you boiling? Jesus is your king. You cannot wait to serve him with all of your heart, always looking to help. What are you? And how is it affecting your service of the Lord? If your spiritual fervor is barely warm or cold, then your service to the Lord is going to suffer as a result. So how do you keep your spiritual fervor? Well, here's two suggestions. The first is, you can keep your spiritual fervor with regular Bible reading and prayer. Regular Bible reading and prayer will keep your spiritual fervor alive. Where can you do that? Well, here on a Sunday morning, commit to coming on a Sunday every week. You'll have regular Bible reading prayer. But also midweek, home groups, you'll have regular Bible reading and prayer. Well, if you can't do either of those, then download an app like Lectio 365, daily guided Bible reading and prayer. The second suggestion is Sabbath rest. It's something we've mentioned a few times here at St. Patrick's, but Sabbath rest, so countercultural in our day and age, but it is a gift from God to help you keep your spiritual fervor. If you know that your spiritual fervor is lacking, then don't leave this morning without a plan. A plan to join a home group. A plan to download the Lectio 365 app. A plan to commit yourself to Sabbath rest. A plan to reignite your spiritual fervor so that you can give your all in this, in your service to the Lord. So there you have it, the two main components to our devoted service as living sacrifice: zeal and spiritual fervor. The bar, I would say, is set pretty high by God through Paul. We're not to be like James Bond. The service we're called to is actually far more challenging than James Bond's. It's far more rewarding as well. But it doesn't end there. Paul doesn't stop there. He tells us, actually, in verse 12, that God has given us three tools to help with our devoted service. And the three tools are hope, patience, prayer. Paul says in verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I was just looking up to see if anyone was doing the actions. Well, let's consider these tools and how they can help us in our devoted service. Be joyful in hope. The word hope in English nowadays actually conveys feelings of doubt. For instance, sayings such as, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Or when someone says, I hope so. What that means is we now associate feelings of uncertainty with the word hope. But biblical hope, when we see the word hope in the Bible, it's got nothing to do with uncertainty. It has everything to do with certainty. There's no doubt about the hope in the Bible. When Paul gives us the tool of hope in our service, it is a tool of certainty of what is to come. Be joyful in the hope of Jesus, Paul says. But it could easily say, be joyful in the certainty of Jesus. The certainty of his life, death, and resurrection. The certainty that he will come again to establish his kingdom with justice and righteousness. And from that place of hope, our perspective and our service is transformed, and we can serve with joy. Be patient in affliction. Affliction or hard times can do two positive things for the Christian. One is that it can help us to lean on Jesus now, and the second is it can help us long for Jesus' return. Affliction, hard times, aren't a reason to stop serving, even though I get that they can bring great challenges to our lives. But affliction isn't a reason to stop serving the Lord. In fact, from what I've observed in other Christians, is that as they serve through their affliction, their ministry, their service has a greater impact. Not because they're suddenly better at it, usually the opposite is true, but because they're suddenly far more dependent on Jesus than they ever were before, and their service is changed as a result. Patient in affliction. If your service becomes really hard and you're facing affliction, then be patient. Don't give up. Serve through your affliction. Lastly, faithful in prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest tools that the Christian has at their disposal. Prayer, speaking to God and then listening to his response. Being faithful in prayer is saying, I don't look to myself, I look to God to help me as I serve. A little bit of advice on being faithful in prayer. If you're volunteering, always pray before you start what you're doing. If you're serving the Lord in some way, always pray before you do that, and pray afterwards. But crucially, we always seem to pray just before a group thing when there's other people involved. But if you're putting the chairs out, or if you're doing something that no one's going to see or that no one's there for, then pray before you do that act of service. Be faithful in that way. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. How and when do we deploy these tools in our devoted service? Well, for start, simply being joyful, patient, and faithful will go a long way in our service. But there is bound to come a time when perhaps we need to lean on one of these more than on others. And perhaps that's true for you right now in your service of the Lord. So if you're feeling down in your service, then I want you to remember the certainty, the hope of Jesus, and let that bring you joy as you serve. If you're feeling afflicted in your service, then I want you to remember that God won't test you beyond what you can bear, but also that that affliction can help transform you into a far more useful individual in your service. And lastly, if you're feeling weak in your service, then pray. Pray for more God. Look to more faith. Look to God for your help. So as I conclude, God has given us great gifts. He's given us an instruction to love one another. And he's given us this instruction to serve him with zeal and spiritual fervor. And one final thought. Sometimes just plodding on in our service, just plodding on doing things week after week, day by day, can sometimes leave you feeling isolated or unnoticed. Well, let me say to you that if you feel unnoticed and isolated in your service, that Jesus sees you. Jesus sees your service, and your reward and your recognition will come, and it will come in heaven. You know, I'm actually convinced that the people that will be famous in heaven are the people who are unknown now. But one day, Jesus will reward them. The people that are right now just plodding on, doing their daily, their weekly service, Jesus sees, and one day they'll be famous in heaven. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, many of us here want to serve you with zeal and spiritual fervor, but there's challenges to that. So, Lord, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit within us so that we might be able to serve you with zeal, with spiritual fervor. Lord, would you show us in the areas of our lives where we need to redirect our zeal into our service? Would you show us how we can increase our spiritual fervor? And Lord, these tools you've given us, please help us to deploy them at the times we need them most. In Jesus' name, amen.